to go see magicians. I love magicians. And every couple of years, I treat myself to go and see magicians. And this time, we've gone to the Opera House where there was a big thing on. But Rebecca had made a fatal mistake. She let me book the seats because I want to get on stage if I've got an opportunity. And so I booked as close as I could afford to the stage in hope that they'd come and get us out. And Rebecca hates taking out the front. And she was terrified that she might be the one picked. And so she looked at me aghast, and I was just in hysterics. And because I just was the best thing out, because that's my style of character. I like being out the front, I think it's great. She does it for the Lord, but if it's not that, she doesn't want to be known. We're different. We had a break on Friday, whilst Rebecca and I were out at the BUV, and I found her learning Hebrew. And she's teaching herself biblical Hebrew. She's learning, you know, how can I read the first parts of Genesis, and she's teaching herself this. Honestly, I'm a teacher. I couldn't think of anything worse to do with my time. I'm useless at languages. Absolutely atrocious. And she gets off on them. She sits there, oh, I'll just teach myself this. Show you a slide in a second. Who likes scones and jam? Any takers? Just quick side. Who of you puts the cream on the scone first and then the jam? One, two, okay. Who puts the jam on first and then cream? See? Okay. Cream tea. I had to force myself to go and have a cream tea just so I could take this photo. It's amazing the efforts I go for this ministry. The top one there where you put the cream on first and then the jam, that's actually a Devonshire tea. The bottom one where you put the jam on first and then the cream, that's a Cornish tea. Man, you better not get it wrong. As I had the opportunity on Friday, and I was discussing this with them. They've ever got a good time for things in. We're different. Other question. I've got to go home and build a bit of furniture. If you were going to build something or do something, are you the sort of person who reads all the instructions, checks all the bits, puts them all out, checks the way through, figures where they're going? Or are you the sort of person who goes, nah, let's have a go. So who's the read all the instructions type people? And we had some high commands around the team. Who's the, oh, we'll just have a go at it. Yeah. Yeah, conflict only comes when you've got one of each in the marriage. That's when it gets fun, doesn't it? No, we're different. Some people are visual learners. So some people like this sort of thing. When I put these sorts of things up, others just like verbal instructions. Some are kinesthetic learners. Kinesthetic means you learn by touching and doing, which is why sometimes you put out Play-Doh and you say, you Play-Doh. We were talking last week about Genesis, and we came to the point of Genesis where sin entered the world. One of the issues with sin is it becomes divisive, and it becomes us and them. And anything different from us is obviously them. And so one of the problems we can have in life is that we see something different to ourselves, and it immediately becomes them and problematic, rather than us and happy. And what I want to talk about today is the idea of a Plato Christian, is saying that God created you uniquely and amazingly, and you have great parts and gifts. And that's the first thing to take away from this. If you take away nothing else, that's the first thing. And to accept those and live those. And the second thing is, God created the person next to you equally as important and equally as different from you. And so to accept them and appreciate what their gifts are and see how we can do that in Christ to bring the unity of the body. Philippians says this, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. To be humble, thinking of others is better than yourself. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body, that we are many parts of one body, all belong to each other. There's an interesting thing. You belong to this community of faith. What you have, what God has been given to you, is not for you alone. And honestly, if you learn that, learn to express yourself in serving them, you'll become more content and Christian. So, quick check now. How do the people who did the Play-Doh use the Play-Doh? So we'll start with Play-Doh over here. This one's fairly self-explanatory. Here we have three crosses. That's pretty good. Feel free to applaud. I think it's a good sort of effort. There we go. Aha, superb. Look at that one. Here we go. The sun. As opposed to a starfish. Just checking. But that's really cool. Excellent. I'll take photos of those. Where's three hunting ant? There's one over here. Look at this. It's not just, this is creation, is it? But it's not just creation. I like this bit here. We have a kangaroo, is that right? We have Australian creation. Excellent. Superb. Oh, where's the others got to? One over here. The old rugged cross. Marvellous. Well done. Thank you very much. Nice and easy, that one. Four and fifth one. I've got five out. And there we go. Scott has been feverishly working at... Ah, brilliant. When you see it from... When you get it from that side, you go, what's going on here? But when you turn it round, you see the tomb has been rolled away. Superb. Look at that. We're all different. Just giving them instructions and saying, go do this. Okay. So a few basics. We can often fall into one of two categories. The first category is pioneer, those who like to go out and find fresh new fields. They want to discover what's over the next horizon. They want to go and do the new thing. The other group are the settlers. They love to find something comfortable, make it homey, everything's controlled and perfect. And both groups are needed. Without pioneers valuing each other, settlers valuing each other, we have problems. One person said, most church splits come because pioneers and settlers in the church just don't get on. Without the pioneers, we would never find a new frontier. Without the settlers, we would never keep them. So when that person next to you is going, we've got to go and try this, we've got to go and try that, we've got to go and try the other, and you're going, please, just like it the way you are, you've got to say, but they're calling me to things that God has ready for me. And the same person, when you're kind of like going, I've got to be over there, I've got to be over there, the person say, well, hang on, we've still got to finish digging the last place you took us to. Pioneers need to listen and say, yeah, okay, we need to settle ourselves down. Pioneers just love change. Woohoo! Go for it. Let's change it. We changed that yesterday. No, I'll change it some more. Settlers love to conserve. And can I say, well, the old stuff does just fine. Okay? There's a classic example of two cultures, the American and the Russian. The Americans love inventing new technologies all the time. So when they went into space, they invented a pen which could write upside down. So now we've got a pen which can write upside down. They spent millions doing it because they like pioneers, it's their culture. And the Russians went on to invent something. You see? Different cultures were saying, how do we do things? Pioneers and settlers. Mainstream denominations tend to boil off pioneers. Because what happens is, we're established. We don't want to go anywhere else. We're quite comfortable where we are. And can I say that is going to be the death of churches? We've got to listen to the pioneers. We've got to listen to the visionaries who say, this is the way God acts, reacts with culture nowadays. This is how we should be doing things. Did you know we never used to sit in churches? We used to do that. That came in around did earlier this week was I threw out this question: the kingdom of God is expressed. And I threw it out to a few people and said, can you just come and answer that for me? The first thing they all did is, what? What do you mean? So I had to talk to them. And I thought the thing I said out was perfectly obvious. Because I'm a teacher, and I think people need to know. Other people need to know. So eventually one person came back and said this: the kingdom of God is expressed through a community who live in unity, using their individual gifts and love the way Jesus taught in the scriptures. That's what it was. I'm going to leave that up there to refer back to it. But two other people came back and they said, yeah, well, we'll take you on the challenge. And I said, you've got 2 minutes to express the kingdom of God is expressed by. But I didn't give them any much more details there. I said, you can do that. And so Tracy said she'd come and do this. And I know that this is not Tracy's natural forte or what she'd like to do, but Tracy, you've got 2 minutes. The next one who was willing to take up the challenge was James. So James, what do you know? I gave them 2 minutes and they're sticking to it, which is really good.
I'll certainly stick to it. The kingdom of heaven, that's when people walk in the freedom of Jesus' name. God's statues and God's power. From that's good.
Yep, thank you. What I hope you saw there is different people approach this different ways. Okay? And we should celebrate that. Ephesians tells us, now there are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church and the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. I started with the Corinthians passage because it had a slightly different list. So what I want to get across to you is I'm going to suggest a way of looking at it. And it's going to be checking on the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Okay? Or the five-fold ministry. I don't want to say this is the only way. Because if you look in other parts of the Bible, you'll find there's the different apples and all sorts of things. This is one way. So I'm going to look at it today. If you can see yourself in there, be blessed, right? So, first thing is, this is a five-fold ministry school. So at the end of this, I'm going to say, I'm going to give you a website to go to, answer a lot of questions, and I'll pop up with the ministry thing and come up with this. This is me. It says, of my gifting, the way I'm displayed, I'm an apostle 16, evangelist 23, pastor 25, prophet 23, teacher 15. To tell you something, the numbers don't actually matter. Okay? It's not whether you pass or fail or get 100 or 2, it's irrelevant. What is important is how they compare to each other. So if you look at me, I enjoy teaching. And my gifting comes out of being pastor. Well, you'd hope that, because that's what you've called me for. And that's pretty good. I've become comfortable with prophecy. And if need be, I can get out and talk to people. I'm not particularly stuck as an apostle. start with the apostle. Oh, before I move on, by the way, you might have a problem if I start talking about apostles and start talking about certain characters. If I'd started with teaching, no one has a problem that there are teachers in this world who are Christian. I mean, you don't kind of go, everybody who's a teacher is obviously born again Christian because they've been given the gift of teaching. We understand that people who teach people demonstrate some things which we find impossible. It's just something that we believe because they just show that happens. So some of the apostles. What I'm going to do is show where Jesus showed his apostleship. Then go on to what it actually means. So Jesus says in John 3, it's recorded, for God did not send his son to the world to condemn him, but to save him. It says, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle of my words. Apostle means, from the Greek word, apostolos, meaning one who is sent out. That's what it means, one who is sent out. What you find with an apostle is they're pioneers on the way. Right? They want to see new things. They want to establish new things. They are visionary. Often we'll come upon apostles that plant a new church. They'll say, this new ministry. And they provoke others to seek vision and start new things. Now you might think I'm going to go plant a new church, but you could just as easily plant a new ministry. And you could say, well, I've got this vision for our town. If we do this and then move over here and do this bit over here, then we'll get this result at the end of it. But I think God is calling us to step out in this direction. And we should be moving here and planning here. And whilst we're having this described to us, trust me, the apostle can see it all. It's there in front of them. It's an amazing ability to see the future as it is presently set. And the rest of us, so this is where I kind of do this with you. We sit there trusting God. And listen to me. How's it going to happen? How are we going to do this? What about this? And they go, don't worry about it. We can do it. And they'll lead us and they'll say, well, I anticipated this and this is how I'm going to counteract it. I need you to organise in this direction to do this over here. And God says, I can't. And he's working into your faith. And you need to be able to pick some courage and support. Rather than go, nah, we're all just quite happy doing what we're doing. Apostles take us to places that God says, stretch and find out who I am. An apostle enjoys dreaming and making them happen. They enjoy strategizing. Now, I want you to think about this, because at the end of it, it might just be a quick show of hands to say which one you resonate most with. If you're that sort of person that might say, I think you know, I can do this or do that. I mean, you might come out of your house, you might be a builder in your house, and continue knocking a wall down and building something else up, because you've got this better vision. Okay? It comes out in different ways. You love saying, what's a better future? How can I get us there? Words which describe apostles, like they imagine, they're in strength, they initiate. They excite people, they get envisions, they get people to say, come and join me in this. They're entrepreneurs, they're explorers, they want to go and see what's the other side of the hill. That's what we enjoy, that's what we get off doing. Come with me. And it's exciting to be around apostles if you allow them to lead you properly and you go forward saying, hey, listen, I'm there with you. That's what an apostle does. changed this years ago. Because that's who they've been. So we need to appreciate priorities and great. But there's a flip side to any of these gifts. And one of them is if you're an immature person, you're unable to distinguish between the constant flow of good ideas that God gives you and the ones which you should actually be going for. That's what happens as the pastor, you go, oh, this one's there. And you keep running around to different ideas. Eventually, people follow you. They haven't even dealt with this one. They've gone on to the next one. Mature apostles are certain. They go, yeah, I've got five great ideas, but this is the one I'm going to do. So, can I encourage you? Consider, are you an apostle? Is that what your gift is? And then say, show the community of faith, I'm going to the best of you. That's a this moves on to prophets. Jesus talks about his future in Matthew 24 and 25. He prophesies his own future in 17:12. You can go and read many of the passages where Jesus tells exactly what he's going to do. He's exactly what he does. Either you're going to go blind if you want. This is just a prophet. But a prophet really is one who hears and listens to God, foretelling and coming forth revelation from him. Now, part of this is telling the future. A prophet is known best for telling the future. But in fact, what a prophet is best known for is actually telling people, this is the word of the Lord that you use. It's not always about this is going to happen in 20 years' time. Let's say, God's put things in my mind now, clearly about his word. I can clearly see we need to be moving in this direction. They understand the time and place of what people should do. They provoke others to encounter and listen to them. Prophets need to be connected to the Father. They need to be there to say, this is the word of the Lord, listen to me, do this right. I first came across a prophecy when I joined what turned out to be the church which discipled me and led me. And the first week I was there, a lady stood up and said, no, I just want to bring a prophecy before you. I had this last week. I spoke to the elders. They prayed about it. They agreed with me. They said, this is a prophecy from the Lord. And they said, could you bring that to the church while you're here? I'm going, right, I was a new Christian. I thought all churches did that. Prophets enjoy being alone with God, waiting on God, listening to God. They think this is the best thing. They'll have a room somewhere set aside, a space or a chair. I'll be there so much I can increase the attention. They just want to get to know God. And they've had a hard day and they want to get to know God. And they hear from God all the time. And they'll see things from God all the time. How wonderful to be able to thank him. Words that describe a prophet are waiting and retreating, seeking God's heart. Prophets can be seen as visionaries or futurists. People who speak out their perceptions. They're often very, very creative. And they can say, this is the future we need to go to. And apostles and prophets can work very, very well together. The core question that prophets ask is this: are the people of God hearing his voice and responding? Can you hear God's voice? Told me this. If you don't do it, you're going against God. It's very, very tricky. I've seen more churches burn down, more ministries burn down by prophets and prophets. Because they don't have this thing of certainty. They're just listening. Their job is to bring the revelation. And then it's other people's to interpret the issue is prophets always assume that. So you may come across a book, Kurok, Jesus Calling. I hate it. You don't know, there's really good. But I hate it because the way it's written, the author of it says basically, he's chatting to Jesus in his house. He writes down Jesus, she writes down the Lord, Jesus Christ. Well, to me, what that person has done is phrased that phrased it so that it comes across as the same. Said, hey, I spent time with God, I feel that this is what God said, I'd be perfectly happy. Because it would have allowed me to be able to go and say, well, I can interpret this in my mind without feeling I'm disobeying God. If I come to you and say, listen, I've got a Bible here, it says this, you're not doing it. And I expect you as a believer in Christ to check yourself and go, okay, check myself and say, this is the word of God. I come to you and say, well, hang on, I've always been to Kuro, it says you should do this. Prophets are essential for us. They hold us true to the Lord. Prophets bound you. When you boil them off, you won't listen to them. You get upset. We kind of think it's spooky and weird. And I tell you, if you don't believe that God can foretell the future, evangelists, woohoo! If ever you wanted someone who is likes new places, that's an evangelist. Jesus was an evangelist. We see that with the Samaritan woman, we see it with Nicodemus. All the time he's going over and talking to new people. Evangelist means bearing good news. Bring good news and share the message readily. We seek out and love spending time with non-believers, non-Christians. They know the gospel, make it relevant to non-believers. Other Christians to their witness and give them the words. They enjoy building relationships beyond the church. They enjoy sharing their point of view and encouraging others to witness. Hey, what's important about this is that each particular one of these gifts doesn't have to be displayed by many different ways. You might be a prophet. One of your prophets might be. Had today, Tracy Sohn, showing the visual art. If you're an evangelist, you might be the Billy Graves of the world. Drowned in the world. You might just hang around and come from there and just chat about things. So you might be the sort of person who wants to there's no help for you. You sit in the hospital, and the nurse does everything for you. But someone to say to you, just do this. I had major surgery at one point, my particular nurse was continually poking fun at me. In my mind at the time, it was my drug-induced brain pain. I was costing a lot of my skills and my eyes. But in fact, what they did was probably every single day. Since this is what I want to do, I give you the time to use the opportunity now to say, if I come to you and say, I want to tell you this, it's not because I want to hurt you, it's because I want to help you. I've dealt with people on the phone. Bring me at 2 in the morning and come to someone. Andrew, you've got to help me. This is my problem in my life. And I'll go on and on. And I'll check first the sun. Say, love you back, you say. About here for a few weeks. To him, Andrew, you've got to help me. Okay, say, phone me back, you say, sober. Eventually, they get the message. When they're sober, they come and talk to me. Now it's not the counselor. I'm not doing it for them. Waste my time. And sometimes I say, Jesus says to the rich young ruler, go sell all your stuff, and he's very, very sad, turns away, walks away disheartened. Jesus didn't go, hang on a second, I realise that was too tough, come back. He just let him go. And if we are to believe it correct, he became John Mark. Jesus is the rabbi and teacher. They're amazed at his teaching because his message of authority. One who grasps the truth is excited by it and holds it out for those who receive. The teacher relates others to his word. They enjoy reading and studying the Bible and helping others understand the truth. They train, coach, instruct, change, and enlighten. expecting